Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Hugh, thank you very much for that. Now, over the weekend, thousands of people took part in protests to show their support for Natasha O'Brien, who was beaten unconscious in a random street attack in 2022, for which her attacker received a fully suspended sentence. Natasha has continuously made the point that it is not about her, but about the many others who've experienced gender-based violence. She joined me earlier alongside Maeve McLaughlin-Doyle, who survived years of abuse at the hands of her ex-husband, a former Garda, who was jailed for 6 years in March of this year. I first asked Natasha about her reaction to the protests at the weekend.
It was the response was absolutely overwhelming. I can't express my gratitude to every man and woman that came out to protest for change and for justice. I truly felt like I was, you know, I wasn't alone anymore, like I was when I left that courtroom on Wednesday. It was phenomenal. It was an amazing response, but it's also a very, very heartbreaking response that so many people can relate and so many people feel the need to take this stance and stand up. But I'm also so, so heartbroken by the fact that we have to rally together for this, because we should be protected. And, you know, our justice system and the judicial system and the defence forces and all these systems that are in place to protect us are not working.
What were people saying to you at the weekend?
People were just saying to me that, you know, I've given them, a lot of people have expressed their just gratitude that I'm speaking out about things that have affected them for decades. You know, so many women, so many men have messaged me, have spoken to me about how serious how horrific the court system is, and how much victim blaming goes on, and, you know, how pointless it all feels to seek justice for, you know, being for. It just really is absolutely heartbreaking.
Maeve, I know obviously you went through a similar experience yourself. In your case, you endured 12 years of physical and emotional abuse at the hands of your ex-husband. I wonder, what was it like, firstly, to hear Natasha's story?
Yeah, well, Natasha's story, the thing that strikes at me is the navigating the judicial systems, because I had 5 years of navigating civil and criminal judicial system. And the one thing that just seems to be a running theme is this dampening down expectations constantly for victims going through the system. Mm-hmm. So like, I got a solicitor say to me one time, you know, you've put your ex-husband through a lot. I've had a barrister say to me, you know, stuff that was going on with my sons were like teenage kind of acting out. And I was like, it's not, it's trauma. So you find yourself as a victim kind of teaching people in the justice system about what's going on with you, what's happened to you. And then you're also trying to navigate a system that you don't know, that you're relying on them to guide you through. It was only when I heard Natasha, I kind of thought, I just came so used to that dampening down expectations of what was going to be the outcome of certain things. Because, like, you know, again, you'd have barristers or judges or solicitors, or it's not judges, sorry, solicitor, barrister saying to you, you know, you'd be lucky if you get a certain judge, or, you know, this judge thinks about things this way. And as a victim, when you're going through a lot and then you're having to think about the system as well, you're going through it, you know, it really starts to grind in on you, and you start to kind of lose a bit of hope going through things sometimes. You know, it becomes very difficult. And I was actually saying to Natasha, because Natasha was just saying to me, it's not just about, you know, domestic violence or women, you know, a woman-man thing. And I said, actually, my two sons were involved, my two adult sons, in the case in March with my husband. And
when your ex-husband did get 6 years in prison, people kept saying to you, you were lucky to get it across the line.
It must be so ingrained in public psyche that victims just don't get the justice they deserve. Because I had strangers come up to me and say, you were so lucky to get that across the line. You were so brave to even go for that, because, you know, most people don't get across the line, or they have suspended sentences.
Was that your experience as well, Natasha, that sense of dampening down expectations, being told to tailor what you expected to happen?
I don't think it was. Because you see, with my case, it was very, very, what happened to me, I was told, you know, we'll let you know what happens with the DPP, we'll let you know, we'll submit the evidence. And then all of a sudden, I received a phone call Thursday before last to tell me that my attacker was up for sentencing the following Wednesday, and did I want to write a victim impact statement. I had no time to prepare. I had no time to think about it. It just was sprung on me. It was just, I didn't even know, was this actually going to go to court, the courts? So when it did and I wrote my statement, I was just, you know, I was trying to think, how can I help the judge to understand how difficult it was for me? I need to bare my soul to this judge so he can see, so that, you know, future people can be protected from this violence, future, you know, that this, there will be consequences, you know, and this won't be accepted and tolerated. I think what's different with my story is that, you know, people are absolutely horrified. They're like, that's so wrong. I cannot believe that he received a suspended sentence. You don't deserve that. You deserve so much better. He deserves to pay. And it's like, guys, oh my God, this has been happening for decades.
I know, Maeve, that when you saw what happened in Natasha's case, you had sort of similar emotions, I think, to what Natasha's talking about there. And you wanted to speak to her because you think, what is it that you think exactly? What is it that you think you and she and others can do?
I just think in the judicial system, they need to be as trauma-informed as the professionals that work with victims. Mm-hmm. So I think, unfortunately, look, I know that's not their profession. It's not what they've gone in to do. They've gone into to study law and to interpret law. But unfortunately, it's not as black and white as that. You're dealing with victims who have very lived experiences. And I mm-hmm. felt as a victim the whole time, it was like, look, OK, we know you've gone through a rough time, but, you know, we have to explain expectations to you and, you know, the black and whiteness of law and stuff like that. But like, it is your lived experience. It is traumatizing for somebody to, as I keep using that word, dampening down expectations, that is disheartening when you feel like it's not understood properly. It's very disheartening as a victim to stand at the back of a court and hear, you know, the character references given out and, you know, to say this person can probably go on to have a better life when your life is particularly damaged and my children's lives were damaged, still dealing with things like that. I've had women, like, there just seems to be this reoccurring team of women saying to me, obviously I'm dealing with women because it's around the, you know, domestic violence services and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But they're saying to me they feel let down by the judicial system, that they felt misunderstood, that, you know, they felt traumatized again after going back to the system.
Re-traumatized by the system. Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, when people got this, and actually, I've had numerous women in similar positions to myself say, you know, your husband was a guard, he was made an example of. My husband did similar stuff and suspended sentence. They felt like, you know, that because my husband was a guard, he was made an example of, and, you know, that the people didn't understand their trauma when they went through the courts. So
trauma training, you think, for the judiciary and also people who are dealing with victims of assault, do you think that would help?
Yeah, and also I know from, sitting in a few webinars and stuff, they were looking at the family courts, you know, they know they're not fit for purpose in the civil side and stuff like that. But like, there's always seems to be, like, you know, surveys and all sorts of things going on and experts. But I think really it needs to happen quicker, and they need to listen to people's lived experience, the victims that have gone through, you know, the trauma, you know, how they felt traumatized going through the system, and how there's still mm-hmm. women today, and I'm sure men, I just deal with women more in these situations, who, you know, are going through, and this is still happening to them. Okay. And I don't think it's good enough for a barrister or a solicitor to be standing there saying, you know, like, actually, even Natasha's saying there, you know, it's all very last minute. There should be a better communication going on with the victim and all sorts of things that just need to be refined.
Lavinia Kerwick spoke out about your case over the weekend, and she said that you have had to be brave, but she said you shouldn't have had to be brave. No one ever wants to do this. And she said that you're going to have to gather more strength now to deal with this if it all goes to appeal. How do you mm-hmm. feel about where this might go and all of what Lavinia Kerwick said?
So Lavinia Kerwick was... started the victim impact statements. There were no victim impact statements before Linnea Kerwick, and because of her, we now have the opportunity to give a victim impact statement. However, we've been giving victim impact statements now for over 20 years, and they're still not taken seriously. I mean, we're allowed to get up and say our little piece, but it doesn't actually, it's really not taken into account in the eyes of the law. I don't believe it is at all. You know, I believe it's just, oh yeah, let them say something and let them make their piece, and then we'll go back to our law then for our ancient 20th century laws, you know, and it's not good enough. It should not be 20. I cannot believe that it's been 20 years since then and nothing has changed.
Do you think that, Maeve, that nothing has changed?
I think when they're going through the mitigating factors and, like, you know, you're saying to a victim, like, you're lucky that this person has been guilty. You know, it's the whole thing in that person's life. It's been traumatizing. It's not in any way lucky. And, you know, I think judges just need to be a little bit better informed, and maybe the victim impact statements. But I just think there has to be a tweak. And there has to be a little bit better understanding for victims within the system.
I just want to ask you finally then, both of you, I know you're hoping to meet up and talk and maybe even work together on trying to keep these issues to the forefront. Do you think, and I might come to yourself, Natasha, first on this, that we'll be here in another 20 years' time and nothing will still have changed? Or do you think it's possible to get the change you need?
Well, I was speaking to Maeve earlier, and she certainly expressed that, you know, when initially everything, well, she went through her court ordeal and, you know, she received an overwhelming amount of messages and support and sympathy, and it does die down and people are angry and then people forget. But I mean, I am just truly appalled and horrified and by what I suffered with. By what I suffered with at the hands of the courts, at the hands of the defence forces. I'd like to bring them into it because they're completely accountable too. You know, it's just absolutely shocking. Like, these are the systems that have been put in place to protect us, to look after us, to keep the peace. And these are the systems that are time and time again enabling violence and taking the impact away. And
okay. And just finally to yourself, Maeve, in terms of whether or not you think things can change?
Oh, I definitely think things can change. Sure. We have to have the hope that things will change. And I just think keeping it in motion, like what I said to Natasha earlier on, what happens is these things come up, people are outraged, and then it just kind of fades into the ether. It really needs to be worked on, properly worked on. And I just think, you know, a message needs to be sent out that any sort of violence to the level of what Natasha experienced or to the level of what I experienced, but particularly like one-off situations like Natasha, it's just not going to be tolerated. It shouldn't be tolerated, and there should be a proper penalty for that situation. Particularly obviously with women, but for men as well, you know. So
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. No doubt we'll speak again in future, but for now, thank you both, Natasha and Maeve. Thank you
so much.